Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Amen, church. Shed blood of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, the power of what Christ has done in our lives and in our hearts. And are we not thankful for what he has done? Let's stand with our hands lifted high and our hearts abandoned today. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Father, we praise you today. The resurrection gives us life. The resurrection gives us life. We are not here today celebrating or gathered to talk about a God that is dead. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Father, we pray today that God, the Holy Spirit that lives in us, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that raised us up into new life, would speak today, we pray. We praise you and thank you. We worship you and we bless your name. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away the sins of man. For there was an annual reminder of it. And year after year, the sacrifice had to happen. But now there has been one sacrifice, once and for all, through the shed blood of Jesus. And he is the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life. We praise you and we thank you. Father, let the word of God today do what only the word can do. Let it cut to the heart today. Let it penetrate our mind, our soul. Let us be changed. Let this not be a religious service. But Father, let it be again an encounter with the living God, the risen Savior. We pray that in Christ's name. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Please be seated. Amen. How many of you were at the Good Friday service? Boy, what a marvelous morning. Amen. Amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful? I said to Pastor Larry, I think it'd be even better if the church would meet and gather Easter morning, Easter Sunday. One church right across this city. And I think it'd be wonderful if that happened in the arena. Wow. Isn't it amazing when you see the diversity like we saw Friday and the body of Christ from all different denominations? See, diversity should be celebrated. It shouldn't be used to divide us. Amen. We are all saved by grace. Christ is the unifier. We worship God the Father. We have some differences, as I said on Friday, with some doctrinal things. Who cares? Because in heaven, there'll be no denominations. Every tongue, every tribe will be represented. But diversity is beautiful when it's celebrated in the body of Christ. And I thought Friday was such an amazing picture of the body of Christ in the city of Medicine Hat. I felt like the body of Christ has stepped through a new door. I'm going to say it again. I felt like the body of Christ in this city has stepped through a fresh door of the Holy Spirit. That's what I sensed. I was really struggling Friday. I've been had a fever, and Becca's, thanks, honey. I appreciate you giving me what you had, and I love you so much. You're just the most precious woman on earth. And that's a true story, by the way. Got out of that one fast, didn't I? So I was fevered and just really kind of battled. And but God was in the house. And I, you know, when I woke up Friday morning, I just did not feel well at all. And the scripture came to me, like the Apostle Paul, when I'm weak, then he's strong, right? Because we, Pastor Larry, and you know, and I know, and by the way, you all know, you can do nothing without the power of God. You can do nothing without God. So I said, Lord, you're going to have to take over today, but what a marvelous service. So I'm going to share a little bit more about this as I get into my message, but we have these newfound friends, Muhammad and Hayat. They are a family from Syria and with 7 children. And so we get a phone call Friday night from them, and they were very concerned about their little baby, Yasmin. That's the baby, 9 months. Yasmin. No, my Arabic is horrible, but I'm trying, okay? So Hayat was very worried, and I can't understand, and they get the one little boy on, and he speaks pretty good English, so I'm not feeling well, but I said they were really concerned, and so I get in my truck, and I go over there, and anyway, we figured things out, and things were fine, but Muhammad finds out that I'm not feeling good. So he has this concoction to make you feel better when you've got cold or flu. It was 7 cloves of garlic. So if you've been smelling anything this morning during worship, that was Friday night. I hope it's all gone. So he says, Mark, he says, you sit, you have to sit, you have to, I make something for you. So he gets these 7 cloves of garlic. My eyes are getting really wide, and he's crushing them in front of me, and he says, you eat, you're going to eat this, and he takes it, and then he pours olive oil all over it, and then he puts lemon all over it. Now he says, you eat it. 7 cloves of garlic later. So, and he says, so then he says, you go to bed tonight, you sweat, and then you and me have coffee tomorrow. So, I'm going to chat a bit more about being a living hope to people in my message today, and how we are that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're the living hope. Well, Pastor Ken, you quoted this in your opening. 1 Peter, if you have your Bibles, your iPhones, your iPad, whatever you've got, let's go to the book of 1 Peter. What an incredible portion of Scripture. Chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, what is your guarantee of eternal life? Where will you spend eternity? Well, I'm a good person. The Bible says there is no one good. And here's what he means by that. Here's what the word means by that. Our good works are like filthy rags. The reason God says that is there has been such an incredible price paid for our wandering, our sin, our rebellion against God. Jesus Christ came for one purpose, understand this, to die. One purpose. It was a divine purpose to die, to shed blood, the blood of Father God. There's only one way God forgives you. It's through Jesus, his Son. There is no other way that the Father can forgive. There is no other way to salvation. So if you're here today, what's your guarantee that you leave this place? And if you were to die, and don't say, that's not going to happen, preacher. Really? You could leave here. Someone could pass away right here in our midst. Lord, let that not happen. But someone could die here or walk out. Drive down a highway, whatever. What is your guarantee of eternal life? There is only one way to spend eternity with Father God, and that's through Christ. One way. I don't think we so often understand, and I'm speaking this for myself, the price that was paid and the power that raised Christ from the dead. You know, when Jesus died, when he said, "It is finished," in Matthew, this is the only place that records it, the veil in the temple was torn top to bottom. That means we have direct access to God now through the blood of Christ. There was a violent earthquake. Tombs were opened up. And dead people, people that were dead, started walking around witnessing in Jerusalem. How would you like to see that today? Hillside Cemetery blown up. 3,000 corpses walking around Medicine Hat. Fully alive. Prior to his own resurrection, resurrection power was already demonstrated through those people being raised up. It's going to happen again. It's true. Thessalonians chapter 4, we do not grieve as those without hope. The dead in Christ shall rise what? First. That's the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't it going to be a wonderful day? You see, when we pass away and we're in Christ, we're immediately with him. Our body remains here. Won't it be a glorious day to get our glorified body? Oh, really? Some of you think you got great bodies now? I can say that. Anyway, I won't go there. We're going to have a glorified body. No sickness, no disease, no pain, no suffering. He's going to wipe away every tear. That's the hope. Because of the resurrection. Verse 3, 1 Peter 1, 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Underline, living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. He's not talking about the salvation that we've received now. He's talking about salvation to be revealed, Jesus Christ. He is coming back. He is coming back. He is the Prince of Peace. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. We do go through trials, folks. We do go through grief. We do go through grieving. We do go through pain. We do go through suffering. We do go through difficulty. But what takes us through the valley of the shadow of death is resurrection power that lives in you and I when we know Christ as Savior. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And when we do pass away, we walk through that valley into eternity to be with the Lord forever. Wow. Those of you who have had loved ones pass away who knew Christ, they're with the Lord today. Amen. They're with the Lord. That's our hope. You ever been to a funeral where the person didn't know Christ and there was no hope? There was just this talk about the parties the guy went to and all the stuff that he did or she did or whatever. There was just absolutely zero hope. And yet when you go to a believer's memorial service, yes, there's tears. Yes, there's sorrow. We've lost someone, but there's celebration because of the great hope that is found in Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. These have come, Peter says, that your faith of greater worth than gold. Understand something. Your faith is vital to God. It's worth far greater than any material item on this earth, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Wow. You've not seen him physically, but you love him. Can I hear an amen? You want to know why? Because it's alive. It's here. He's in our heart. Right here. Because when you accepted Christ, when the Holy Spirit convicted you of sin, and conviction is love, and you invited Christ to be Lord of your life, he dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, and you know, and nobody can take it away from you. Nobody. Nothing. You believe in him, even though you've not seen him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. We are here today worshiping because Jesus Christ is alive. There would be no salvation if he stayed in the tomb. You cannot be born again unless there was a resurrection. If Christ would not have been resurrected, you and I cannot be born again. And you must be born again. There is no other way. I said that earlier. When we were in Moscow, 1998. And anybody here been to Moscow? You can go through Lenin's tomb and go down. You go down these steps, and they say it's him anyway. Seriously, you wonder. And you go around, and there's the couple of guards there, and you have to be super quiet because you're supposed to be reverent. I'm being very sarcastic right now. I'm being honest because I think it's quite pathetic. They think he's their God. Seriously. It's a corpse. I don't mean to be but that's pathetic to me. I'm being honest. And you walk around this corpse and you're supposed to be reverent. Really. That was a man. A man who killed and murdered millions of people. And they're celebrating that man. They're walking around like he is the king. Well, guess what? We don't walk down into some enclosed area and look at the body of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's alive. He's Christ. Yeah, give God glory. Can you imagine us gathering every Sunday? And myself or Pastor Larry, Pastor Randy. Hey, by the way, Pastor Randy, just a quick thing on next Sunday night. Bring appetizers. I thought we were having steak. Appetizers. Now he left. He doesn't like my preaching. Where was I? Jesus is alive. We have a new birth. We have a living hope. It is all hinged on the resurrection. Part of the door that we've stepped through as the body of Christ is a reverence, an awe, and a holy fear of a mighty God. There's an awness of God. Part of a renewal of the things of the Spirit is a reverence for God. He purchased our salvation. And he didn't leave his son in a tomb. He raised him from the dead. Let's go over to chapter 1, 21 to 23. Actually, we'll start at verse 20. So chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 20. It says, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. I've said this, we've talked about this over and over and over and over. The way this city will see Christ in us is our love one for another. It's not a shallow love. It's not phony. It's real. It doesn't mean it's easy. But at the end of the day, because of Christ, the body of Christ is to love. And if you were there Friday and I quoted that speech from President Reagan, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. The walls of offense in Medicine Hat, the walls of division between the body of Christ, the walls of superiority, meaning I have a greater edge on Scripture than that church over there, or we just do things a little better. You know what? We have better worship than that church because we do it this style and that style. No. No. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Christ did not come to cause division. Christ came to unify the people of the living God. We've been purchased. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Think about that. Let's go to John 1:1. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God, verse 2, in the beginning. What's he talking about? What's John talking about? Who's the Word? It's Jesus Christ. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, who was the living Word of God, this thing is too small. There. Then this Bible, if Jesus had not been raised, this Bible would be dead. But the way, and when you read it, and when the pages or the words leap off the pages at you into your spirit, it's because it's living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. That's because there's resurrection power in these pages. These words are fully alive. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, went into a tomb, but that tomb could not hold him. He was raised to life, and that's why when you open the Word of God, it has so much life in it. Secondly, what about a living hope? What are you placing your hope in today? Are you placing your hope in money? Are you placing your hope in government? Boy, if you're placing your hope in government, oh boy, we got to pray for our government, folks. Come on, everybody say amen. It is concerning. If you're not alarmed, then you're still sleeping. Oh my. Maybe that's going to wake up the church in this country. I pray it does. You placing your hope in education? You placing your hope in people? You know, the angel said to Mary, why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Why are you searching things out amongst things that are dead? The bar scene, drugs, alcohol, whatever. Movies, parties, you know, all the stuff. Why are you searching for life in things that are dead? If you want life, discover the true life that is only in Jesus Christ. He is life. Our sin was buried in that tomb. That's what's left there. When you come to Christ, your sin's not resurrected. Your sin is taken away because Christ took away the sins of the world. But you have to accept him. You know, I've a little thought on, you know, where Jesus spent that 3 days. Because he did say, the only sign that I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. This, Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. And, you know, there's so much doctrinal debate over where was Jesus during those 3 days? What was he doing? And we see much scripture about, kind of gives us some clues that he preached to the spirits who disobeyed long ago. Very powerful portion of scripture that he led out captives. I forget the actual portion of scripture where that is. And so there's a lot of debate. So I'm going to give you a little thought. This is only my thought. Christ suffered at the cross, complete suffering. And prior to that, of course, the beating that he took. He was wounded for our transgressions, and all of our disease, all of sickness was placed on him. But I have a thought for you. This is only my thought. So it's not theology 101 here. But during those 3 days, if he preached in the heart of the earth, in the dark regions, and when all of man's sin and all sickness and all disease and all poverty and all anger and all murder and everything filthy and disgusting was placed on him, we can't imagine it. as Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But I think after the cross, and again, this is just a theory, that he stepped down into the dark region, the Prince of Peace, and all of hell began to shake. Jesus had just shown up. And I believe he called out and he said, Satan! And Satan was cowering in a corner. And he cries out, Satan, come here, because at every knee is going to bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, because Jesus Christ has all authority. And I believe this is just my theory, that he grabbed Satan and he placed all of sin, sickness, disease, hatred, war, anger back where it belonged, right back on to Satan. And he walked out of there triumphant, and he let captives, and he took captives. That's just a theory. But I believe all of hell was shaking. Every demon was shuddering, and they went, what have we done? What have we done? Your sin is buried in the depths of forgetfulness and forgiveness because of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who's the living hope now? Still Jesus, but who's his representation? We are. Yeah, we are. Christ's ambassadors. Wow. So this family that we've recently connected with, very interesting time in our lives and where we're at in ministry, and just the connection we've made with this Muslim family from Syria. They escaped Syria in 2013 and got into Jordan, and I don't want to tell you a lot of the details, but quite a story. And so after Friday night and my garlic experience, I was praying for them, laying in bed praying for them. And I said, Lord, why don't you just show them a dream? Give them a dream of who Jesus is. Reveal yourself to them. And you won't believe the answer I got back. He said, I have. I have revealed myself to them. You and Rebecca. Don't you just love it when God answers you like that? And others that have helped them over this period of time. And you have no idea what an amazing privilege it is to lay hands on them and pray in the name of Jesus. Wow. We're the living hope for people, folks. It's time the church rises up. And some of you are getting this, but I'm going to say it again. It's time the church rises up. Yeah, it really is. We have to get into people's lives. And I'm going to tell you the truth. You don't give people the spiritual dump truck. You know, they are not this family is not a project. They are human beings made in the image of God. Can I hear an amen? You have to befriend people. You have to love them for who they are. Love them for where they're at. I've never eaten so much food in all my life. You can't go to their house and not eat. It's just the food. The hospitality is, Becky, am I telling the truth? It's overwhelming. It's like, don't put any food out. No, 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 little, little, little. No, not little, 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 none, none, none. And the food comes out. Folks, I'm going to be very honest with you, and I know it's Middle East culture, but they understand biblical hospitality far better than we do. Just amazing. Amazing. We had coffee. Were you there Monday? Yeah, I think you were. With them Monday, and they were saying, you come every day for coffee, every day. And I said, well, this week is Easter week at the church. And I said, I'm out. We're out Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. So Muhammad says to me, Mark, I'm figuring out new job for Muhammad. I said, what's that? Security guard at church. He says, and when the people come, I say, go, 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 Mark and Rebecca, relax. Come to Muhammad's house for coffee. I said, well, let's see if it works, you know. Why not? But I'm telling you something, folks. People are saying, well, you're connected with them. God's put you there. They're teaching us something. No, 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 not about Islam. They're teaching us something, okay? But we believe we're there also to just shed somehow the love of Jesus Christ into their lives. It's amazing. Let's go in closing to 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. If Christ has not been raised, why would you bother showing up here and listen to preaching? Why? Why would we bother? But he has been raised. That's why we're here. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. But if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Our faith is absolutely dependent upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to read a portion from a book I'm reading by Bill Johnson, The Power of a Transformed Mind. He says this, I have come to see that the normal Christian life means miracles, spiritual intervention, and revelation. It means peace, joy, love, a sense of well-being and purpose. All these traits that elude so many Christians, written into the spiritual DNA of every believer, is an appetite for the impossible that cannot be ignored or wished away. I'm going to read that again. written into the spiritual DNA of every believer is an appetite for the impossible that cannot be ignored or wished away. The Holy Spirit, the very Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in us, making it impossible for us to be content with what we can only see, hear, touch, taste, and smell. In other words, there's a lot more, folks. It's the supernatural power of God. He's the miracle-making God. He's the God of the impossible. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. Normal Christianity should be miraculous. Can I hear an amen? And there is a move afoot where people are tired of religion. I'm going to say it again. People are tired of religion. I wrote in my journal the other day, religion is exhausting. The kingdom is exhilarating. Jesus is exhilarating. The power of the Spirit is exhilarating. Our hearts know there is much more to life than what we perceive with our senses. We are spiritually agitated by the lack of connection with the realm of the supernatural. In the end, nothing satisfies the heart of the Christian like seeing so-called impossibilities bow their knees to the name of Jesus. Anything less than this is abnormal and unfulfilling. He goes on to say this. But in these last days, the man of understanding, Jesus Christ, our wisdom, is drawing the deep things out of the hearts of his people, bringing them into the open. These things are the irrevocable callings of God. We live in an unprecedented hour where people are hungering for and stepping into their destiny in great numbers, fulfilling the purpose of God for mankind on earth. It's an amazing, unprecedented time to be alive, and you and I get to be a part of it. To be effective believers, we must go well beyond the Christian life we have known. We must redefine normal Christianity so it lines up with God's idea of normal, not the definition we have accepted and grown accustomed to based on our experiences or lack thereof. Folks, let's all stand. This is the greatest day to be alive. This is the greatest day for the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the greatest day for the body of Christ to move in fullness and in power and in strength by the Spirit of God. And we have an opportunity. You see, one of the things Jesus did on the cross, he destroyed religion. Somehow, I think we've resurrected it again. He destroyed a religious system. Not the holiness of God's law, but they had kept adding to it and adding to it and adding to it and adding it to it. He tore that down. He fulfilled the law. And he showed us the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is beautiful and it's powerful and it's supernatural. And that's the only way, by the way, you can be born again. And by the way, the greatest miracle is still someone who bends their knee to the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest miracle. Janae, would you come to the piano? And just quietly, what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Wow. Let's bow. Jesus, all throughout this building, there may be just even one person who does not know you as Savior. Jesus. Jesus. If you're here today, and you have never accepted Christ as Savior, and you don't know where you would spend eternity, I can't convince you. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. But would you lift your hand and say, Pastor Mark, would you pray for me? I want to receive Christ today. I want to repent of sin. I want to turn. I want to give my life fully to Jesus Christ. I want to accept him. Is there anyone here? You'd raise your hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else today? Just keep your hand up so I can see it, please. Yes, Lord. It's Jesus. Amen. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Father, we praise you today. We praise you today. We praise you today. George and Isabel. Young lady right here. Would you just pray with her? Thank you. Yep. Awesome. Awesome. Well, even after we close, if you want to find your way to this altar to pray, you can do that. Or if you didn't raise your hand, but you'd like to talk to someone about coming to Christ, we're here. We'd love to lead you into a relationship with Jesus. But let's lift our hands for the blessing. Father God, we praise you today and we worship you. And we thank you, Lord, for the resurrection of Jesus. And we are the living hope for Medicine Hat. The hope of Christ, the hope of glory lives in us. So, Father, we pray, oh God, that we would be your hands and your feet, Christ's ambassadors, we pray. Bless this church. Bless the body across the city. Bless the people, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of us said, amen. Have a wonderful rest of your Easter weekend and week, and God bless you.